This is People First Radio On Demand, podcasts, streaming, and MP3 downloads, available when you want to listen at chly.ca, iTunes, and at the People First Radio website.
CHLY 101.7 FM, Vancouver Island. On the web, www.chly.ca.
Central Vancouver Island Multicultural Society will present an opportunity for youth to speak openly about experiences and concerns related to discrimination and hate crime in an event on Saturday, April 21st, 2012. Those who attend will be able to gain mutual appreciation for what the experiences of hate are and what can collectively be done to change what hate looks like in our communities. We're joined in the studio by Samantha Letourneau, the Diversity Coordinator at Central Vancouver Island Multicultural Society, and by Youth Dialogue participant Michelle Colline. Welcome to People First Radio, both of you. Samantha, this event is called Stand Up, Speak Out, Youth Against Hate, and it's being presented by the Central Vancouver Island Multicultural Society. Why is this event important?
It's important in numerous ways, and one thing that's... Well, there's quite a few ways, yeah, that it's important. What we see transpiring in Canada, when you look at current statistics, we're seeing a rise in hate crimes or hate-motivated behavior. And those are the ones that are reported. And there are lots of hate crimes or the acts of racism or discrimination that may lead to hate crimes that go unreported. So what we're seeing happening in Canada is we see a rise of... I'm going to just read some stats here. Of 54% of hate crimes motivated by race and ethnicity, that's followed by 29% by religion and 13% by sexual orientation. And the most disturbing thing when we talk about sexual orientation, that percentage, is that these are the most violent acts of hate crimes that we're seeing happening in Canada. So in a big picture, hate crime is on the increase. And what we need to do is talk about why this increase is happening. The other alarming facts that are out there is that both youth are the perpetrators and victims of hate crimes. So when we're looking at who are committing these crimes, it's mostly young people. And when we are looking at who are the victims, it's mostly young people. So young people really need to get together and talk about why this is happening and what's happening in their own community.
And in speaking about need and local communities, is there a local or a, I guess you might say, mid-Vancouver Island take on all of this in terms of needs and current problems?
I think, racism hasn't disappeared on Central Vancouver Island. Neither has discrimination. And, we see it in our schools. We see it in our community. And so on a very local level, we still need to be talking about these issues to raise awareness, to create action, and to move one step closer to that more inclusive community that I think we all would like to live in.
Michelle, a panel made up of 11 youth representing immigrant, refugee, and Aboriginal youth have been planning and designing this community dialogue for some time now. You've been part of that work. What was it like for you?
Well, it's been really great, and I've learned a lot. I'm graduating this semester, and I've been studying sociology. And so for the past 5 years, I'm learning about situations such as hate crimes and hate motivated behavior and racism and any kinds of discrimination. And I've just been waiting for an opportunity to put my education in practice. And so one of my teachers knew that I wanted some experience in this field. And so he sent me, he got me in contact with Sam. And so since then, I've gotten to work with, numerous youth. And it's been a great panel. It's probably my first time that I've gotten to work with such a diverse group. I'm half First Nations and half white, so it's neat for me to get experience with other kinds of cultures, and it's been really great and such a good learning experience.
Michelle, what were some of the actual activities of the group? What did you do in terms of preparing for this event?
Well, the youth panel would meet about once a week, and we started to form agendas of what the event would look like and who our audience was, which was obviously youth from 15 to 30 years of age, and started to work on workshops and what kinds of things we can have at the event. And through that, we also got some like committee experience. We got to chair events and we chair the meetings and got to form agendas and just work together as a group.
Did you change as a person during the course of this planning process and your participation in the panel?
Yeah, I would say I have a little bit. Being in school for the past 5 years, you think of yourself one way, and yes, I think of myself, I'd like to be accepting of all, but I actually got like, until now, I got to put that into practice. So it's a different experience working with youth rather than just learning about it.
Samantha, what did you observe, hear, and learn during the planning process with the youth panel? You were present as well during this, I take it.
Yeah, I was present in more just supporting the direction that the youth wanted to take this forum, as I strongly believe in the importance of it being youth-led. So avoiding that whole tokenism that this is a youth event, yet the youth had no input. So I really, really tried to step back, but I guess mentor in a way to give them some direction of where they would have ideas. And I would say, okay, well, you could take it this way or that way. But what this, watching them work and watching them work really made me further believe how important youth engagement in our community is and how youth can be effective agents for change, and how community members and the leaders in our community really need to listen to what these young people have to say.
Were there any concerns raised by the youth participants in the panel that surprised you, let's say something that you hadn't expected or hadn't planned around? Or any issues, perhaps, that they're facing locally speaking or in their own individual lives?
It's a great question. I mean, I think I've been really blessed to see how this group has come together and worked so well. And they've been so open in discussing how they feel that there weren't any major conflicts that came up, but more, I think the pressure of when you put on any event of the hopes that it's going to all come together and run smoothly.
This is People First Radio on CHOY, across the islands and streaming online at CHOY.ca.
Central Vancouver Island Multicultural Society will present an opportunity for youth to speak openly about experiences and concerns related to discrimination and hate crime in an event at Bebbin Park in Nanaimo on Saturday, April 21st, 2012. Those who attend will be able to gain mutual appreciation for what the experiences of hate are and what collectively can be done to change what hate looks like in our communities. Influential members of the community will share in the discussion, including Kevin Millsip of Next Up, a youth leadership organization. Stand Up, Speak Out, Youth Against Hate requires registration as space is limited. The event welcomes youth from 15 to 30 years of age. And we're joined in the studio by Samantha Letourneau, who's the diversity coordinator at Central Vancouver Island Multicultural Society, and by Youth Dialogue participant Michelle Colline. Now, Samantha, Next Up was created by a group of Canadians who want to help emerging leaders, and I looked at their website earlier. I found it very interesting. And they want to help emerging leaders in Canada, youth leaders, develop new and better skills, smarts, and ideas. Kevin Millsip is the co-founder of Next Up, and he's a current director with that organization. Tell us about his participation in this event.
Mm-hmm. Kevin, for years, and I worked with him years ago when I was in Vancouver, but for a long time has been a huge advocate for engaging youth in dialogues and engaging youth in understanding how decision-making happens, how they do have a voice. And he initially started his career with an organization called Check Your Head. And it was a youth-driven organization. And the concept of it was to educate youth around global issues that were happening and how locally they could create change. And through the years, Kevin ran Check Your Head for a long time and then eventually evolved into, Check Your Head still exists, but he moved on to what is called Next Up, which is in partnership with the Center for Policy Alternatives and works closely with Seth Klein on this. And the importance of Kevin being there is because he is such an advocate for the young voice to be heard, and he can speak so well about the importance of young people standing up and being the leaders in their community. And it's not that a young person needs to be a leader, the most vocal one, the one that's heard the most. That is the type of leadership. But Kevin speaks of all kinds of leaderships and styles and how that can create really positive and effective changes. And so it's very inspiring. And he'll be talking about that, of where, you know, after a day of talking and discussing, where youth can go next with this issue. What are the next steps? What do they want to do?
Now, there'll be a second organization involved as well in terms of a representative from that organization speaking to the group that assembles here in Nanaimo. Tell us a bit about that organization.
Mm-hmm. So that organization is called No One Is Illegal. They have offices, I believe, in Vancouver, Montreal and Toronto, and maybe Victoria. I'm not sure if there's an office there. And No One Is Illegal speaks out strongly against racism and discrimination, speaks out strongly for the rights of people, and works a lot in that field. So one of the keynote speakers, we're just waiting on confirmation of who exactly from No One Is Illegal will attend, but will speak about the need to eliminate racism in our community.
Now, Michelle, a photo voice exhibit created by youth will display realities of hate and hope in Nanaimo. Tell us more about that. What is a photo voice exhibit and how will this all work?
I'm really excited to see how this turns out, actually. So as a youth panel, we each took photos of something that can resemble some kind of discrimination we've experienced, or a photo that resembles hope that we can strive for. And so they will be displayed at the event, along with a narrative to go along with the photos. And the narratives will be described in some form at the event. And it's to add a personal touch to the event. So the participants can learn more about us youth panel, and there's going to be other photos contributed by other youth groups around Central Vancouver Island. And it's just a visual way to express some kind of discrimination or some kind of hope that we're hoping to strive for. And it's a process to make change in the end. We want to alter the photos, get into groups and workshops, and discuss how we can change what these photos look like in order to achieve a society that we want to live in.
So you yourself then went out and took a number of photographs. Can you give us just a bit of a teaser as to what one or two of the photographs that you took were, and what kind of a narrative did you attach to those images?
Sure. The photo I took that I'll be displaying is of a Native carved mask that my uncle made for me, and also the Bible that my mom gave to me many years ago. And I took this photo as a way to represent like diversity within myself, how I see myself. Like I said before, I'm half First Nations and half white. And for me, it's important to share that part of me, because I guess I don't, in my experience, I haven't like seen or met any other people who are in the similar situation. And it's not that they don't exist. It's just maybe there's this underlying pressure to live your life one way over another. And I think that accepting the diversity within ourselves can bring acceptance to others and, you know, hopefully prevent any hate crimes that may be motivated by something like that.
So there will be some work done with these photos during the event itself. But Samantha, there's also a plan to create a draft community charter. Participants will be honored for their contribution to the charter. And then also there may be an opportunity to contribute to the community charter publication. Tell us more about that process.
Yeah, so the concept of the community charter actually came out of the youth panel. And the one person who really kind of came up with this idea, unfortunately, is not here today. But so I'll try to encapsulate what the vision of this charter is. And it is partly based on work that the diversity program has done in the past with a community response charter that looked at racism and hate and how are we going to deal with this in our community. And what the youth at this event are going to do is after they've changed the look of the photograph to resemble what they want to see in the community. And the brainstorming that'll happen there, they're going to use that to create a charter from the images and from the words and the narratives that have been shared that day to create a charter that expresses what they want to see in their community. And how do we deal with racism? How do we deal with discrimination? How do we appreciate the differences that we all have?
And I anticipate the charter process will be quite significant. And I imagine along with the photos as they've been rearranged and worked with, that will form, I guess, the record of the conference or the actual physical content of what happened there.
Yeah, I think that's really important that when you're bringing people together to have action that's actually taken place that day and that can lead to something further. And so that is partly where the concept of the charter came up, is that here's the starting point to put this charter together where there's young people and there's also community leaders. So there's city councilor members that will be attending. There's MLAs that will be attending. There's people that work for the city of Nanaimo that will be there to see how they can help build this charter that the young people want to see and what are the next steps to have it implemented.
We have just a moment left in our conversation today. Is there anything else that you'd like to add, Michelle Colline?
Well, I just think it's going to be a great event. I think it's going to exceed our expectations, and I'm really looking forward to what I learn.
And Samantha Letourneau, is there anything else you'd like to add?
As always, I'd like to thank our funders that make it possible for us to be able to do events like this, and that's the Province of British Columbia and the Government of Canada. And if people are interested in attending, we are asking for people to register as seating is limited, so they can email SLETOURNEAU at CVIMS, or they can call the Multicultural Society at 250-753-6911 and type in my extension 102.
Thanks very much to both of you for taking the time to join us. Samantha Letourneau is the Diversity Coordinator at Central Vancouver Island Multicultural Society. Michelle Colline is a Youth Dialogue participant in the upcoming Stand Up, Speak Out Youth Against Hate event. This chance to listen, be heard, and make change is designed for youth from 15 to 30 years of age. Requires registration as space is limited. Contact Central Vancouver Island Multicultural Society for more information. You can find them online at cvims.org.
This is a People First Radio podcast. People First Radio is an initiative of Columbian Center Society in partnership with Radio Malaspina Society and produced at CHLY Community Radio in Nanaimo, British Columbia. The opinions expressed in this interview do not necessarily reflect the opinions of the partnering organizations. Visit us online. Just Google People First Radio to find our webpage.